It's Wisconsin Today. I'm Kate Archer-Kent.
And I'm Rob Ferret. The federal government's flagship climate report comes out every 4 years. It explains how global warming is affecting our country, and it could go extinct under the Trump administration.
Here in Wisconsin and across the nation, local governments use the National Climate Assessment to help guide their environmental policies.
Earlier this month, the Trump administration said it would be cutting contracts with ICF International, which oversees most of the staff supporting the National Climate Assessments program.
We'll get to perspectives on the climate research cuts and how it may impact environmental policy in Wisconsin going forward. Tony Wilken-Gebhardt is Executive Director of Midwest Environmental Advocates. That's a nonprofit law center based in Madison. Tony, welcome back to Wisconsin Today.
Hi, Kate. Thanks so much for having me.
And Dan Vimont is here, professor of atmospheric and oceanic sciences at UW-Madison and director of the Nelson Institute Center for Climatic Research. Dan, welcome.
Hi. Good to be here.
Dan, let's start with you. You previously served on the Science Review Committee for the Climate Science Special Report, which the National Climate Assessment is based on. Can you give us a sense of how major this climate report is and how it's prepared?
This is a big effort, and it's used across the United States. So the National Climate Assessment is an assessment of the current state of climate in the United States, and so it's a objective assessment by hundreds of scientists around the U.S. And so coordination of that effort is a big deal. And that's important to have that coordination so that the process is transparent, so that a review process is put in place, and so that we're providing an objective and vetted product that future decisions will ultimately be based on.
So hundreds of scientists across the U.S. contributing to the report. I would imagine logistics and timing certainly on the research has to be very coordinated.
It's a big effort, yeah, and it's not something that someone can just pick up and do. And that's why I think there's a contract, or why originally it was contracted out for running those logistics.
Tony, how do state and local governments put this national climate assessment to use for shaping policy?
Well, the data and the research that's included in the assessment definitely drives decisions that we use here in Wisconsin to prepare for climate change. And I think that's important to emphasize. The kind of cuts that we're talking about is not about a disagreement in, you know, how much to invest in renewable energy or whether we should be reducing greenhouse gas emissions. These cuts go to the heart of preparedness and planning. So for instance, and this is something Dan's research has helped shape. We know that our region is at greater risk for flooding. We're seeing more intense rainfalls in Wisconsin and the Midwest. And so the data and the research that's included in this assessment is used by federal, state, and local governments to manage that risk, to inform how we are making infrastructure investments that can withstand the kinds of risks that we'll see into the future. And so when we lose this kind of climate intelligence, it is invariably going to lead to worse outcomes and missed opportunities to protect Wisconsin communities.
If communities lose this type of climate intelligence, as you call it, where would they turn to? What type of data and statistics would they use?
Well, I think that's a really good question. I think folks across the country are trying to ask themselves, what will be the impacts of this wholesale disinvestment in climate preparedness and intelligence? This is not the only cut that we're talking about. We've already seen the administration slash funding and staffing at the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration, or NOAA. That's the lead federal agency that tracks the systems that support life on our planet. And just in the last couple of days, side by side with this announcement to slash the climate assessment, the administration's budget proposes to slash essentially all funding for NOAA's climate and weather research. So Hopefully these cuts will not be permanent. Hopefully we can push back, engage Congress in this effort. It's worth stating that the assessment is mandated by Congress by a law that was signed in 1990 by President George Herbert Walker Bush. And so Congress has a role to play here. If the federal government continues to cut funding, I don't know to what extent state and local governments can make up what we're losing.
Dan Vimont, Congress requiring a new assessment be issued by 2027. You know, your thoughts there, is that possible at this point? What would need to happen to stay on track with that directive?
That's a good question. I mean, I don't think this is the sort of thing that can happen just sort of organically. There does need to be coordination of this. I think there will continue to be efforts at assessing climate. You know, we're certainly doing that here in Wisconsin with the Wisconsin Initiative on Climate Change Impacts. But the importance of the NCA is that it is a congressionally mandated effort, and therefore it has more of a legally binding, or there's more footing there for making decisions. And the problem is that communities, smaller communities around Wisconsin, around the U.S. as a whole, just can't afford to do this sort of stuff on their own. And so the NCA is an opportunity to provide this kind of information, just data, just plain data, providing information. I love that phrase, climate intelligence, for communities that can't necessarily afford to do this on their own.
That is Dan Vimont, Nelson Institute Center for Climatic Research Director. Tony Wilkin-Gabart is here, head of Midwest Environmental Advocates. That's a nonprofit law center, as we talk about the impact of cuts to the National Climate Assessment Research Program. Tony, President Trump has called climate change a hoax, and that's despite the scientific consensus that our fossil fuel burning is the primary cause of global warming. Do you think is denial behind this action?
Yeah, I think that's definitely part of it. Just even listening to the news lead in, we're seeing so many cuts to scientific research and study. Governments try to put forward policies that are unpopular and put communities at risk, it makes sense that they would try to cut also our ability to understand what is happening and to respond. So I think this is a really disturbing trend that we're seeing play out across government, across sectors, and it's important that we respond to the threats. And like I said, in this example, we're talking about something that is mandated by Congress that has traditionally had bipartisan support and that is used in red counties and blue counties in Wisconsin to keep communities safe, to inform the kinds of decisions that farmers are making. The chaos that the Trump administration is creating by these kinds of cuts, this kind of denial, could have a real direct impact on chaos that we'll see in our everyday lives moving forward if we lose our ability to respond and to prepare for the kinds of impacts that we are surely going to see.
Dan, you're in the thick of climate research. How does the National Climate Assessment situation compare to other science-related freezes and reductions by the Trump administration?
I don't know that I want to compare those. I would say as a whole, it's very disconcerting to see that kind of every aspect of our society is being weaponized for political purposes at this time. And climate change seems to be just one example of that. This is not a political issue. It's, thermometers don't care who's in the office, mm-hmm. And by undercutting our ability to monitor and assess the current state of our world, we are we're disadvantaging ourselves economically, and we're disadvantaging ourselves in national security as well. This is something that we should all you know, recognize that just monitoring our world is important for our economy, for our national security.
And how could cuts in environmental research impact the government's ability to respond to climate challenges in Wisconsin and elsewhere?
I think just this effort at you know, sticking our heads in the sand. For example, right now the only part of our energy economy that's growing exponentially is renewables. And we're outsourcing that essentially to other countries and allowing that market to go elsewhere, where we have, you know, a strong history of manufacturing here in Wisconsin. There are opportunities here that we are throwing away by ignoring the reality of our current world.
Tony, is there litigation ahead, do you see, or any way in the courts to fight this?
Well, that remains to be seen. I wouldn't be surprised if there is litigation, considering this is a congressional mandate. But we've seen a pattern here where the Trump administration, rather than trying to have the law changed, just cancels a contract that is funding the work that needs to be done to comply with the law. Most presidents, I would say almost all presidents, understand that they have an obligation to uphold the law. This administration doesn't care about that. And so this has been a weak spot. How can the courts compel the government to follow through on its obligations, especially when this tactic of just canceling contracts is the way that has been used to undermine federal law? So we will have to see. I wouldn't be surprised, but there are some challenges ahead in that regard.
Tony, thank you for joining us.
Thanks very much for having me.
And Dan, thanks so much for being here.
Yeah, I wish I weren't. Mm-hmm. The circumstances, but thanks.
Yes. Dan Vimont, professor of atmospheric and oceanic sciences at UW-Madison, director of the Nelson Institute Center for Climatic Research. Tony Wilkin-Gabbart is executive director of Midwest Environmental Advocates. We've been talking about the repercussions of staff cuts to the federal program that drafts the National Climate Assessment.